Hey, thanks for listening to the Two Pros and a Cup of Joe podcast with LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, and myself, Jonas Knox. Make sure you catch us live weekdays, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. You can find your local station for the Two Pros and a Cup of Joe show over at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
All right, good morning, everybody. I know this doesn't sound as good or as sultry or as smooth as our one Jonas Knox, but he's taking a quick break. He'll be back soon. Enjoy the time off. Make sure you handle everything you need to take care of. We got it taken care of over here, my friend. I'm LeVar Arrington. That's Mr. Brady Quinn himself.
What's up, LeVar?
Hey, what's going on, man? This is Two Pros and a Cup of Joe. We're coming to you on a Tuesday morning. Hope everybody is up and off to a great start. And if you're not, well, hopefully it just got better now that you're listening to us on the radio. So, yeah, we got a lot of great topics to get to today. That was a very interesting, I'll say, Monday night football game. I can't wait to hear what you have to say about that. COVID is in the headlines again. There's another topic that we will touch on, Mr. O'Quinn. O'Quinn, one of the things that you were very bullish about in terms of the NFL and one quarterback that could possibly be going somewhere else. We'll get into all of those things. There was my best Jonas Knox tease alert.
That was good, man.
Tease alert. But
tantalizing.
Yeah, man. And thanks to all of the people out there that are supporting our show, listening to our show. If you miss anything, make sure you check out our podcast anywhere where you download and get the podcast shows that you listen to. Subscribe, tell a friend, and to all of our affiliates list is growing very quickly. We truly appreciate you guys supporting us and giving us a platform for our voices to be heard. So, all right, Brady O'Quinn, my old brother. It's the old brothers today. Monday Night Football.
Yeah, there's not much to recap.
Monday Night Football.
The reality is the actual Manning broadcast, when you have guests like Tom Brady on there and Marshawn Lynch, mm-hmm. probably will steal a lot of the headlines surrounding this game.
Sure.
Nonetheless, you know, look, the Saints get a good win. Mm-hmm. To me, that was crucial because we talked about this a little bit yesterday. When you look at that NFC playoff picture, I think outside of the loser of the NFC West division, meaning between basically the Cardinals and Rams right now, it's the Saints and then who? Like, you're kind of asking yourself, like, it's up in the air. Maybe you're not a believer in the Saints at this point with the Jameis Winston experience, even though they go on the road and he does enough, they do enough to be able to get a win versus the Seattle Seahawks. But that's where we stand right now. It is kind of wide open after some of the more dominant teams in the NFC. The wind played a factor. The one thing is, you know, everyone acts like, oh, the rain. First off, the rain in Seattle is not like it's that big of a downpour. It's mm-hmm. always the wind. The wind and then the cold, which it wasn't that bad last night. Usually that's going to play a factor in play calling, play a factor in the kicking game, play a factor in throwing the football. So all those things were on display. But, you know, honestly, it was, I don't want to say a sloppy game, but it wasn't one of the better games. I just think I come away impressed every time, LeVar, because if I was to ask you, like, who's the one player you have to stop on the Saints, given that they don't have Michael Thomas right now?
And they didn't stop him.
No, they never can. I'm like, what's happening with that?
Alvin Kamara, everyone, if you're wondering what we're being sarcastic about. Ran didn't have a ton of yards, but was over 100 yards receiving and altogether just torched the Seahawks.
I mean, that two-minute drive, you're not watching the Seattle Seahawks and go, all right, we saw him take that little it was like a little outlet or a little option route for about 40 yards or whatever it ended up being. I think it was like a 30-yard gain. Once you see that, aren't you as a defense saying, okay, maybe I need to force Jameis Winston to throw to someone else or throw downfield and not give him this easy completion that either leads to a big game or leads to a touchdown? Aren't you saying that out there?
I mean, to put it in perspective, Trauman, who was the next closest receiving leader, was at 36 yards.
Yeah.
The next closest was 32 yards with Callaway. interesting note, Jameis Winston was the second leading rusher with 40 yards, had a five-yard average in the game. I thought it was an interesting game because I continue to look at this New Orleans Saints team, Q, as almost like an anomaly. I'm not really sure if the phenomenon of the New Orleans Saints and what Sean Payton has been able to do in terms of get quarterbacks, you know, playing at a high level. I mean, he even did it with Drew Brees. And so to me, I'm looking at it like, okay, should we start believing in the fact at 4-2, and maybe not always the best looking ways of going about doing it, but nonetheless, no turnovers, right, and still being effective enough to find Kamara in the passing game, which was what he needed to do, was to find someone who can make a difference for them in this game. To go into one of the most hostile environments, it's one of the tougher places to play in the National Football League, the 12th man. And maybe it's not as crazy as it once was, but it's still nonetheless just the way it's you know, constructed, the noise level, the way the players are up on top of, or the fans are up on top of you. It's a hard place to go in and play. And so for New Orleans to get in there and get out with a 13-10 victory, it says to me that this is there. Okay, let me ask you this. Is there any way, and I believe I know where you're going to go, but is there any way that there's a debate or a conversation that the Saints could somehow, some way, find a way to win their division?
I don't think so. Because to me, they're playing at two different levels. You know, I think the Saints, and really if you look at what Sean Payton's doing, I get more the sense that he's trying to do everything he can to manage the game to get wins, as opposed to just kind of letting those players, you know, play loose, like let them cut it loose. Mm-hmm. Like two entirely different things. Like with Drew Brees, he's a Hall of Famer. I know Sean Payton entrusted him to go out there and do what he needed to do. But, you know, I think the instances where he was trying to manage the game at times was, to be quite honest, when he put in Taysom Hill. Mm-hmm. Like, those are instances where he's basically saying, like, this is what I feel like is best for the team. I'm going to insert this now and then see if we can't get more offense out of it, see if we can't create a different dynamic offensively to challenge defenses. But that was really only it, right? Like, when he inserted him a wildcat, that's the only times where I feel like he kind of had his thumb on the offense trying to control things. With the Saints, it feels like it's everywhere, everything, mm-hmm. and how he's going about trying to get this team to a winning record, to win the division if they can. I find it highly unlikely. Look, maybe when they get Michael Thomas back, you know, maybe when they get, you know, someone else who can help take the top off of the defense, because I don't know that Alvin Kamara can hold up at this rate. Mm. I mean, they really have been trying to feed him and utilize him, and I get that. Like, he's a special player, but he's a running back. He takes all those hits, man. Eventually, that goes to the wayside. I just think the other side of this Monday Night Football game, it's not so much about what the Saints can be; it's what the Seattle Seahawks aren't. Mm. And I know we expected them to struggle without Russell Wilson. I get that, but they're 2-5 now, man. And Russell ain't coming back for a little time. Like, I'm not saying the Jacksonville Jaguars are gonna come into Seattle next week and be able to find a way of winning. I'm not ruling it out at this point, mm-hmm. because what I saw offensively from the Seahawks didn't make me think that, you know, they're going to put up a bunch of points in the Jaguars. But I think Pete Carroll and the Seattle Seahawks are in a really tough spot. I mean, they're 0-3 at home this year. I can't tell you the last time that's been the case in Seattle. Mm-hmm. Where we talk about that advantage, maybe it's not there anymore. And they're looking at 2-5, staring that in the face, staring potentially what, the first losing season since Russell Wilson has drafted there and has started for them as quarterback. Granted, not there now, but he'll be back. Mm-hmm. So I just look at the way their schedule sets up, and I'm looking at next week versus Jacksonville, and now it's a question mark. Where when Russell's there, or even when Geno first took over, I was kind of thinking to myself, yeah, I could still see them winning this game. I don't know now. Like, I'm curious to see what the spread will be on that one. And then I think if you're a Seahawks fan, you just hope. you hope and pray that Russ can come back because they got the bye after Jacksonville, and then they've got to go to Green Bay. Mm-hmm. And if not that game, then maybe you're saying Arizona because at least that's a divisional game. That's one that's going to matter. They both obviously matter in the grand scheme of things. But still, to me, it's when can you get Russ back because he's got to come in and be the hero to save the day the way this team's playing right now.
You know, another interesting point to add to all of that is we know the Seattle Seahawks to be a running-heavy team, even with Russ doing what he does. And I think you're seeing the value of what Russell Wilson brings to the table and his absence. But you got to keep in mind, Alex Collins was your leading rusher. 16 times he carried the ball, but only 35 yards. Had a 2.2 average. And you can't get it done if your DNA is heavily connected to being able to run the ball. So, listen, you're talking about a team that's rated just outside of 10 in the New Orleans Saints. Now, I would have thought that they would have been higher by now just coming into the season, but they have had to overcome some injuries, suspensions, and they're still ranked at 11th in total defense. That gives me a little bit of confidence that this may, like you said, with the return of Michael Thomas, this could turn into a conversation that develops as this season goes on as to what that looks like for New Orleans within the division. But I'm not going to shy away from saying that there's a possibility in some way, some shape or form that a competitive end could be, you know, imminent for the NFC South. So I don't know. That conversation will continue on. That's Brady O'Quinn. I'm LeVar O'Arrington. This is Two Pros and a Cup of Joe. Our buddy Jonas is taking a few days, a few personal days. He'll be back soon. But until then, you get the O Brothers. You know what else you get? You get to discover. You know what I mean, Brady?
Discover a lot.
And
right?
You know what? When you get discover, they're going to match your cash. They're going to give you cash back. You earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing. You know why? Because Discover, it's accepted in 99% of the places that we're going to go to in the USA, Brady. I mean, that's super dope. They take that, well, at least if they take credit cards there, that's 99%. If they take cash, well, you know, that's something different. But you can learn more about Discover at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations do apply. As I mentioned, it's the O Brothers right now. And we're going to talk about a few things. I mean, you know, COVID. It's rearing its ugly face once again, sir. And, you know, it's hitting all of us. It's affecting all of us. It's impacting all of us. But it's impacting the NFL. We're going to talk about that. We're going to get to that and a whole lot more on this here fine show. You're listening to Fox Sports. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Licka. Welcome back. Welcome back in to Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with my man Jonas Knox, who's taking a few days off, my man Brady Quinn, and I'm LeVar Arrington. We'll be here with you for another 2 hours and 40 minutes. So sit tight wherever you're at. Set a spell. If you got a Dunkin' Donut or any type of donut, if you're a Krispy Kreme, what type of donut guy are you? Are you a donut guy?
Oh, yeah. When the time presents itself, all right? Okay. So where I grew up, there's a place called Jolly Pirates.
Okay.
I know it sounds funny, but it's a great little donut shop back there. It used to be in Upper Arlington, Ohio.
Okay.
That's where I would go when I was young. We used to go to church over there. That's like my first memories. And it was kind of ironic because we go to church and then the donut that I would get would be that devil's food, right? That like chocolate with the glazed icing over it, the devil's food donut. So it's just kind of ironic.
Did it have cream on the inside?
Didn't have cream. I was never a cream like that kind of guy.
I was kind of into that. Like what were they called? Boston cream?
That's right. Yeah,
growing up, I was kind of into that. So it was like we were kind of close. You know what I mean?
And then I never liked, you know, like the little donut hole things? I was never as
like
big of a fan
dots?
Of that. Yeah, because I don't know. I just always felt
they're not
like
as good as the big ones.
They're not.
They're
and
just
then
not.
Your parents would like give you like three, and they're like, "Oh, it's like having a donut." You're like, "No, it's
no,
not.
It's not. It's not the
it's
same.
Not, it's not. It doesn't taste the same. It's not the same amount of food. Then none of that is the exact same."
You're
dude,
right.
Then I got older, and I obviously went to Notre Dame, but this place was never there when I was there. And so I'm having a charity event, and it was like, I forget who exactly brought him over, but there is this donut, and it's like it's glazed in like a salted caramel, and then it's covered in like cinnamon sugar. It's like cinnamon and powdered sugar. It is one of the greatest things you will ever taste
you can't go
in
wrong.
Your life.
With cinnamon and brown sugar, you can't go wrong with it.
Oh, my God, dude. Someone literally brought me one. I was like, this is heaven. This is heaven with these donuts. Huh. And it's a little Amish place. You can only find it in certain spots there in Indiana, like close there to South Bend.
Hmm.
But that's like – that. I will order those. I will give those out as gifts. They like freeze pack them, ship them, and I will send them to people as gifts because they're that good. And all you do is you literally leave them out, you let them thaw out, and they are absolutely delicious.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm lost in the donut world, love and taste and smell. I can smell them, I can taste them. And you want to hear a funny story about donuts before we get into our next topic? So when I first came into the league, I had a really close friend. She was really good at tennis, like pretty good. And, you know, we were hanging out, and one time we were talking, and she was like, yeah, I'm about to invest in this company. She was like, you should really think about doing it. And I was like, you know, I don't want to spend my money. I ain't really into doing, you know, too many type of investment situations. But, you know, tell me about it. And it was like, yeah. So, you know, my friend approached me, da-da-da, said that you should get some stock in this. It's going to be okay, da-da-da, this, that, and the other. You'll be all right with it. I was like, oh, that's great. Well, what's the name of it? It's like Krispy Kreme donuts. I was like, oh, Krispy Kreme. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. So it sounds kind of cool. Like, you know, then they spelt it for me. I was like, oh, Krispy Kreme. I was like, that's kind of corny. I was like, I'm a pass.
Welp.
Yeah.
And not to like add on to this, but there is nothing like a Krispy Kreme, like hot off the line.
As soon as the light comes on.
Oh,
so every time I drive by Krispy Kreme and the lights go on and stuff like that, I was like, wow, you know.
And
I probably should have listened.
I meant to mention Rise and Roll Bakery. I'm talking about this donut shop there near South Bend. It's actually in Mishawaka. Mm. But Rise and Roll Bakery, I swear to you, you can order these donuts online. You will not be disappointed. Mm. All right? That's my donut advice for today.
Wow. All right, so while you're giving out advice, young Brady O'Quinn, I need advice for what is going to take place with one Green Bay Packers in the biggest game of the season, and your defensive coordinator and your biggest player outside of one Aaron Rodgers, Mr. Davante Adams, is in protocol. So if he's able to play – I guess you could give us that's best case scenario, but the possibilities of him not being able to play or you possibly not having your defensive coordinator, what's this game look like? What's the approach to this? How are you looking at this information?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because it sounded like they're already ruling out Joe Barry. And I'm not going to – I don't – you know, as far as if people are vaccinated or not, what their status is, I don't care. That's your own personal decision. Like, one way or another, like, everyone do you. But it sounds like he's already ruled out, which kind of leads you to think, all right, maybe he's not. Whereas it seemed, at least based on the reports of Davante Adams, he's most likely out or doubtful. Meaning, if he got a negative test today – it could have been a false positive. So you'd have to get a negative test today and tomorrow, and he would be able to come back and play Thursday. So given that Joe Barry, it sounds like he's reportedly out and wouldn't have a chance to come back and coach in it. You know, the Davante Adams obviously impacts this more than anything else. Even though, I mean, you could make the case. You're playing against Kyler Murray, this explosive offense. You'd like to have your DC there making adjustments throughout the course of the game with you and trying to come up with stuff. But he'll still be able to help the coaching staff game plan because you only got one day to really practice anyway in the short week.
Mm-hmm.
So with Adams, I mean, the crazy thing is I mean, even though he's like an essential part of the passing game, there's no doubt about it. Rodgers had a couple of games last year without him. And during that two-game span, he threw for over 600 yards, 7 touchdowns. So I know we're all concerned that, hey, if Adams doesn't play, like, what's going to happen to this Packers offense? It survived last year. It was okay. Like, it's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. I just think the interesting dynamic is the betting line. What we saw yesterday from the betting line was when this news came out, and he's not even fully ruled out yet, it moved about 3 points, 2.5 points, depending on what book you're looking. That is astronomical for a non-quarterback. Usually a quarterback is out, you see 3 points in line movement. But this is for a wide receiver, so it shows you kind of
how
the respect,
good he is, huh?
How good he is, yeah. What people think of him.
But why didn't they take what you just said into consideration in creating that line? They have won without him.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. That's what it moved to, right? Yeah, so the line's obviously, it comes out. It's initially 3 or 4. Now it's out to 6 in some books.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how you know, the news about his testing and so forth today, tomorrow, could potentially impact that in any way.
Change the line again.
Well, maybe. I mean, I think it's changed for how it's going to be. I think what happens is you see initial movement like that, And really the money's going to come in and dictate which way it goes from there, right? Okay. If a bunch of people then start pounding Green Bay getting 6 points in this case versus the Arizona Cardinals, that's going to adjust the line down, right? Books don't want to be so much on one side or the other. They'd like it to be even, split right down the middle. That's how they know they've got a good line, where they're not paying out, you know, one side way too much. Because, you know, obviously either someone knows something or maybe they're on the outside in. Either way, that's not how you stay in business.
Mm-hmm.
And so that line has adjusted. I think come Thursday, once we get more clarity, that's probably the time to bet this, whether you are a sharp bettor or whether you're, you know, part of the public bettors. Either way, it's still just kind of interesting to think about the impact of one player like Adams and how good he is within this offense. And obviously, think about Vance Joseph and the Cardinals. They're probably looking at being like, yeah, if he's out, man, like, we don't feel scared of this passing attack. You know, we don't have to worry about putting in those double plays on third down, red zone, where we're just trying to shut down Devontae Adams. But it also makes it harder to predict what that offense is going to do. So no matter what, it's still a challenge, right? You're still taking on Aaron Rodgers, even though he's without one of his best targets.
All right, now my question would be, because one way or the other, right, you get Devontae Adams, you don't have Devontae Adams. The one thing that exists that is, to me, the biggest question of this game and of the week, possibly, is can this defense keep up with that Arizona Cardinals offense? They are looking like some straight assassins out there, like silent killers. And I don't know that if you had Devontae Adams, that this team can actually stop Arizona enough for Aaron Rodgers and company to be able to have enough points on the board for them to win. That's for me the biggest question going into this game. How are you looking at it?
I keep waiting for there to be that disconnect, that game where we go, there it is. Like the Cardinals took a step, or, you know, they took a step back. They slowed down. Yeah,
they're pretty consistent.
I keep waiting for that to happen this year, and I feel like maybe that's just on me for
not
buying into.
Well, that's what they've done in years past since Kyler's gotten there. They have had little fall-offs and little slides and skids during his time where it's like, okay, there it is. Like you just said, there have been those games. So they have not done that this year.
No, and the hard part, too, is, look, they're playing at home. I mean, there's an advantage there big time. Like, you don't think that fan base is excited? Which is, I mean, it's low-key one of the better kind of fan bases when you think about, you know, some of the people in Arizona, where they support that team out in Glendale. So it's not going to be an easy environment for Green Bay to walk into.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of just look at it and say, all right, like, we'll see what they're able to do. I think the hardest thing when you try to defend the Arizona Cardinals is you're always trying to expect the unexpected. And you've got that with Kyler Murray because of how he scrambles, how he gets outside the pocket, the way he creates. That's the difficulty is, you know, they can, you know, whether it's Joe Barry or not, right, and anyone else on the defensive staff, they can practice all they want until you get in a live game scenario with Kyler Murray, who when he drops back, if he doesn't see Hopkins or A.J. Green or Rondale Moore or Zach Ertz now, right, who just steps in last week after getting traded there and has his longest touchdown reception of his career, you got all these guys you got to worry about. And so if you play man-to-man, you're done. You're cooked because Kyler Murray's going to see a lane. He's going to run. He's going to pick up 20. And if you play zone, someone's going to find a soft spot. Someone's going to be open. And so I think they're so hard to stop. And one of the things that, I mean, if we're really getting into like the details now, like I remember watching a lot of Cliff Kingsbury and their offense at Texas Tech, and then watching when he got to the NFL, how there was kind of some similarities, meaning if you looked at their passing game, it was either short or behind the line of scrimmage or downfield, like plus 20 throws. There was none of that intermediate part of the field that they were trying to attack all the time. It was like under 10 yards or over 20 yards. There was like a 10-yard space that they just didn't throw to. It was almost like a mid-range jump shot, right? Like in the NBA. Like you either get layups, dunks, or trying to attack the rim, or you get threes.
3 pointers, right.
That was like the only thing it was. And I remember thinking, like, I get it in college because of the style, the spread outness of it, what you see. But like when you get in the NFL, it doesn't really translate. Yeah.
It doesn't, because they'll stay back on you. They'll adjust to that. Yeah.
You got layers on your defense, right?
Absolutely. Come up and tackle.
That was one of the things that when I watched film of the Cardinals, I was always like, man, you know, they haven't really understood, like, you need to have that intermediate passing game. Like, it's not like college football where you live on big plays. This is the NFL. They're going to make you at least have like a 7-8 play drive. You might get some chunks, but you ain't getting too many big, big plays. Like if you do, like last night, DK Metcalf's touchdown reception, you've got a missed tackle. You've got a bad angle. Like you've got a missed assignment, if you will, from a player, because you just don't find defensive players out of position in the NFL like that. Whereas you do find that a little bit in college. So he's gotten better attacking and implementing plays to attack that intermediate portion of the field. Kyler Murray's got better at throwing at that. And I think Cliff Kingsbury's got better at identifying, hey, we're not just going to send a bunch of guys vertical. Like, we got to have some deep digs. We got to have some deep bow routes or out routes, things that attack that 10 to 20 yard range or 10 to 25 yard range of a defense, because that's what they're giving us right now, given how good our offense is.
All right, O'Quinn brother.
Yes,
young
sir.
Baby brother, Matt Nagy. He's obviously said that he has tested for the vid on Monday. He felt good despite the diagnosis. How does this team feel with the Nagy diagnosis? And listen, we all know that he takes credit for the great play calling that they have, even when he's not calling it. It's he's the head coach, and he makes the decisions on how those things are going to play out. Now, that's interesting. The special teams coordinator is going to run the team, not the offensive coordinator. Chris Tabor will run the team meetings during Nagy's absence. He will be running what's going on. What's your take on this? It seems to be one of those things. The Bears are a team that is struggling right now. They currently have 4 players that are reserved based off of the COVID-19 deal. And they've dealt with other injuries, the long list of injuries as well on this team. But they've seemed to have played some pretty good defense while their offense has continued to struggle. Is there a chance that this team does better? Is there a chance that Justin Fields does better? Is this a positive in some way? Is there a silver lining here? Or does this make them more of a sitting bear?
I'm kind of curious to see what happens, because it's almost like this is a glimpse for the Bears organization to kind of see what game day looks like without Matt Nagy. And if there is any offensive uptick, now granted, you're playing at home versus the 49ers, who haven't been necessarily
bad.
Yeah. But there haven't been what I think their standards been there for the past couple of years. So maybe there's an opportunity here. But I think if your offense looks anything better than what we've seen from Justin Fields, which, you know, he's struggling statistically right now. Now, it's not all on him. You know, we tend to always put it on the quarterback. The reality is you're having a hard time finding any receivers that are getting separation. The offensive line has not played well. He doesn't have much of a complement with the rushing attack. And then look, and he hasn't played the way he's needed to at times. He's holding on to the football too long. You know, that's one of the issues that I think you saw from him at times at Ohio State was when he was having a hard time diagnosing and couldn't get the ball out of his hand quick onto that first read, he was usually holding onto the football, trying to create something or trying to look for a running lane. And when it wasn't there, he's getting sacked. So, you know, the people who are witnessing this now with the Bears are the same people who saw this with the Ohio State Buckeyes, and especially early on with Justin Fields' career. And so if your expectation was he was going to come in, he was going to light the world on fire, unfortunately, we're not seeing any rookie really do that.
Right.
I mean, a lot of these guys need some time to develop. And you know, unfortunately, they don't have the opportunity to do that. But how that relates to this game is I just think it gives you a glimpse or window into, okay, like what does this dynamic look like between Justin Fields and the coaching staff and the offense removing Matt Nagy? Like, is Matt Nagy maybe, I don't want to say the thing holding it back, but you do wonder, you know, if they win this game at home, given their recent skid, what this could look like moving forward. Maybe that's something that ends up working against Matt Nagy. Now, again, well, we know he's reportedly said he's doing well. You hope he's doing fine. There's no complications with COVID. But it does give us a glimpse into what could be for the Chicago Bears on the horizon if they play well, if they win this game.
I don't think they're going to be better without Nagy. I don't think that the results...
It's hard to be much worse.
Okay, so here's my take on that. There's the possibility. I would say it's more likely for them to be worse than it is for them to be better. And the reason why I think so is because there's no definity in that. Like, it's not definite in terms of Matt Nagy. This isn't like Oakland, or excuse me, Las Vegas, where you have a team that is rallying around the replacement of a head coach. It's like, let's do what we can do. We have respect for this guy, da-da-da, so on and so forth. And not only that, but we're a good team. Let's try to salvage our season. Let's not let it go off the rails. It seems as though they've accepted the challenge of what their circumstances have provided to them. I don't see that in this Chicago Bears team. I see a team that, again, they play decent defense. It's not, I don't look at it as being elite. They still give up, you know, the big play. They still give up plays, and it's enough where they can't win. I mean, they got torched up by Tampa Bay this last game. But again, I just don't know that this offense is going to improve in a way where you look at it and you say, you know what, it's Matt Nagy. Nagy is the reason why this team isn't good. Nagy's the reason why Justin Fields is struggling. I will say this. It's hard to gauge and measure, as you mentioned earlier in your point. It's hard to gauge and measure if a great performance, a different performance this week against, as I mentioned, a wounded 49ers team is actually comparable enough to say, okay, that cures all the ills of what we just saw happen the week before and on a record-breaking day where the biggest headline out of the game is Tom Brady's 600-touchdown ball being given away, not the game itself. So to me, I look at this as one of those things. I don't think that it defines the Bears. I don't think it defines Justin Fields, and I certainly don't think it defines Nagy, but I also believe that the outcome of this game will dictate and determine a lot as to how you look at the entire coaching staff and what you do moving forward, because you're now talking about, are you going to waste another draft pick, yet another high draft pick on the most important position in the game, which is obviously the quarterback.
I don't think they're anywhere close to that. I just think they're closer to letting go of Matt Nagy than they are moving on from Justin Fields.
I think
they want to find someone who can work with him, get the best out of him, and for whatever reason right now, it hasn't been Matt Nagy. I mean, we saw the best of Mitchell Trubisky with Nagy in his first year together, and then it started to fizzle out. Mm-hmm. And so I wonder how much of that was actually Nagy then, given some of the staff changes he's had in the years. and maybe where they're at now. You know, is that more revealing of what their early success actually was in Chicago? Was it really Nagy, or was it more of what they had on the staff that he's moved on from?
Well, we're going to find out. I'll tell you that. We'll see some things play out, and we'll be here to talk about it. You know what else we're going to talk about? Joe Flacco. He's got new digs, OQ. And you know what? I want to talk about that because the guy that he's replacing, well, he's one of those guys that we were just talking about in Justin Fields, this year's draft pick for the New York Jets. He's out, sprained PCL. Man, there's a lot going on. We're going to keep it quarterback heavy. But before we take a quick break, you know what you got to talk about? The Breeders' Cup. Yep, they come. The Breeders, they come to the Breeders' Cup from every corner of the globe. Brady Quinn, the best thoroughbreds from around the world with one goal in mind. We know what that is. The title of world champion. Visit BreedersCup.com/2021 for more information and catch all the action live on November 5th and 6th. You won't want to miss that. Check out the Breeders' Cup. That's horses we're talking about. By the way, they run and they look really nice, and when the sweat is all in there, they're, you know, and the muscles and all, yeah, all that good stuff. Anyways, you're listening to Two Pros and a Cup of Joe. Jonas Knox, he's taking a little bit of time off. He'll be back soon. I got my brother O'Quinn, Brady O'Quinn, and I'm LeVar O'Arrington, and yeah, it's a super dope show. And we're going to take a break because we gave you so much dopeness that we got to let you, you know, just take a sip of water, take a quick respite, because we're going to be back with a lot more. Up on game. Oh, did I say up on game? I meant two cups and a two pros. Yeah, there we go.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
All right, welcome back in to Two Pros and a Cup of Joe. My man Jonas Knox, he's out for a couple days. Enjoy. Got my bro O'Quinn in. Brady's with me. Yes, I'm LeVar Arrington. And you know what, Brady, you know, if you want to look good, you know, like $1 million, that is, right? But you only want to spend a handful of your dollars?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you, you need to do this. Upgrade to a Dollar Shave Club, and guess how many blades? I don't want to bite off of Jonas, but Berto, how many blades?
Sace.
Yeah, so find your perfect shave with Dollar Shave Club stores. The best Dollar Shave Clubs in stores. So go to the store and find them. Welcome to the club. All right, here we go. Lee, let's jump into this in case you missed it.
Sometimes you can't get to everything in the world of sports or entertainment. Good thing the guys are here to bring you in case you missed it.
What we got?
You guys, in case you missed it on Monday Night Football with Peyton and Eli last night, even Tom Brady thinks the fans should have held on to the famous 600 touchdown ball. I know what you're going to say, Brady, but what he said he's going to do on top of all the stuff that the Bucks gave him is give the guy one of his Bitcoins, which is estimated at $63,000.
Oh, wow.
Not a bad trade-off, right?
I don't know. I mean, it's a Bitcoin from Tom Brady, so the value probably goes up even more.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that would work one way or another. Like, if he gives you like a $100 bill, is it worth more than $100 because it's from Tom Brady?
Yes. 100%.
I don't know. I think if he signs it, maybe then it becomes memorabilia.
It's got to be signed for certain.
You're defacing currency at that point. I'm
so
not sure
what?
That's the way to go.
You're going
to
make a whole lot of money off that defaced currency.
So you think
currency.
he should have held on to the football is what you're saying?
No, I think he should have gave it. The Bitcoin is okay. It's okay.
He got some other stuff too, Lee. What else did he get in that?
He got two signed jerseys, a helmet, and along with season tickets for this season and next season.
Wow. That's pretty dope.
But he didn't have to give it back. He could have kept it. I would have kept the ball.
I don't think he's getting season tickets for a couple years at a Bitcoin.
I would have kept the ball, but
I wouldn't have.
That's just
me. I felt bad for Mike Evans doing that. You know?
It's kind of silly. Well,
this is kind of silly.
You know who doesn't have 600 passes? Joe Flacco. We'll talk about that hour two.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.